Everybody, welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I'm Betsy Thompson. I'm so excited to get to introduce you to Jeremy Holzbach.
Hi.
Yay, Jeremy's yes. here hanging out with us. Listen, you probably, if you are a Sagemont person, you probably recognize Jeremy because we are blessed.
And
your bald head. I didn't say that. He did. No, I'm just kidding. But we see you a lot of times on Sunday mornings.
Sure.
You help lead us in worship. Yeah. You're up in the choir. Mm-hmm. If you're a lady and you've been to Holiday Celebration in the last many years,
yes.
you recognize Jeremy. He's been Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
You have been what was the carnival guy? Greatest Showman.
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
That's right.
Y'all
couldn't have done that without Wes and
that's right.
And,
all the crew.
Jordan Baker.
Yeah. So I, as the women's ministry director, am very, very thankful for Jeremy
sure.
and his willingness to constantly come and entertain the ladies
sure.
at Holiday Celebration.
Yes. VBS too.
Yes, VBS.
That's
right. Are you doing this year's?
We are. Yes, it's going to be great.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's a great theme. Lisa's helping directing us.
Yes,
it's going really well. So
I'm
we've got
so
a great
glad.
Cast we're working with and a great storyline. So
that's awesome.
I guess you'll just have to find out if I'm the villain or the good guy this year.
He's usually the villain.
I have been at least the last few years.
You have been
there
the bad guy.
There have been
guy.
Years where I've been the Jesus character.
That's
so,
right. You never
but
know.
The last couple of years, I've had the privilege of being able to play a different side, and you know it's fun.
It's fun.
It is fun.
And way back in the day, you were Jesus.
I was Jesus.
Like
there.
In our big like.
That's right.
When
drama. We first opened the doors to this building, when we did Hope Is Born, 2 years in a row, had the opportunity to and the privilege to be able to play that unbelievable
so
role
cool.
of Jesus. Yeah.
Yes.
Once again, you wouldn't recognize me if I didn't have the wig on.
That's right.
So
that's right. That was when like the live animals and I mean, that was the whole deal.
Jason Ryan did a fantastic job putting that together.
That
and
Jason
MJ
Ryan.
Emig, I know that guy, right?
He's okay. He's just the guy behind the camera on
right.
every single table talk.
Yes.
We appreciate
shout
Jason.
Out to Jason.
Yay.
That's right.
We love Jason. I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. You've done all the things. Grew up doing theater.
Sure. Yes.
Wasn't Jason Ryan your teacher?
He was. Yeah. I've known Jason since I was 11 years old.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Jason was my sixth grade orchestra teacher at Seabrook Intermediate.
That's
and
the best.
Then that went on into high school at Clearbrook High School. And Jason's a big reason why I am so as involved as I am here at Sagemont.
I
for
love
him,
that.
I'm very thankful.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We are very thankful for Jason Ryan. So and so glad you were able to come.
Thank you. Yes.
And so how long have you been at Sagemont? Did you grow up at Sagemont?
I did not grow up at Sagemont.
Okay,
so, I was born in Tyler, Texas, so East Texas. I lived there the first few years of my life. My dad had a job change that took us to Beaumont. We lived in Beaumont for 2 years. I try to forget about that. No, I'm kidding. If you're from Beaumont.
Beaumont.
I lived in Beaumont for 2 years, so kindergarten, first grade was there. And then I've lived in this area, this community. Specifically, grew up in Seabrook when we first moved to Houston.
Okay.
Lived in Seabrook from the summer of 91. So I was going into second grade that year.
Okay.
Until I graduated high school. So I went to Bay Elementary, Seabrook Intermediate. Grew up going to actually Livingstone's Church. It's where my family found a home out there for the first few years of us going and being here. And then by the time I got into high school, though, is when I had a lot of influence from guys that I played baseball with and various other activities I was involved in that invited me to go to University Baptist Church off Middlebrook in Clear Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was there that I really found a home, I feel like,
that's
within the youth group. It was very hard for me to get involved out in Alvin at Livingstone's when I didn't go to school out there.
Right, makes a
didn't
difference.
Grow up with those kids and do life with them every day. So it was a little challenging to be as involved there as as I would have wanted to be. But it wasn't until high school that I got an opportunity to do that, and that's was at University Baptist Church, and then I went off to college at Sam Houston State University, and it wasn't in, found a church home up there. It was great. But it wasn't until I came back home after graduating from Sam Houston State that I made Sagemont our home. And that was in 2007.
Okay.
Met my wife, Jessica, at Sam Houston State. And when we came back here and we're engaged at the time we started coming to church here. And actually got rebaptized. I was baptized as a as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was something that Jessica and I both wanted to kind of rededicate our lives together as a couple. And so Pastor Roy Giel was actually the one that baptized us in the old building in 2007. Then we got married in 2008. And like I said, we've kind of, the rest is history as far as just our timeline here. We've been, you know, involved in a number of ways over the years, just as you had mentioned, from to some of the productions that we've been able to do to helping to sing in the choir, to be involved in holiday celebration, to Vacation Bible School, to helping with praise and worship, and just a number of other ways that this church has been such a blessing to our family to be able to utilize those gifts and an opportunity to serve our community.
I love that so much. Your sweet wife, Jessica, serves with me in women's ministry. Yes. She helps plan and run holiday celebration and does an amazing job. And your wonderful mother also serves with me in a couple different places in women's ministry doing different stuff. And so, and then your sweet girls are getting so big.
Yes, they are.
And it's so crazy when I see them. I'm like, tall.
Yes. And so we just measured Haley, who's about to turn 12 in like 2.5 weeks. She just surpassed Jessica.
Yeah.
We did the test.
Yeah.
So she is now officially taller than Jessica, which is
sweet.
Crazy.
And they're such sweet girls. Yes. They're really, really neat girls. And I love, y'all are a great example of being purposeful to have your family involved in church. Mm-hmm. You and Jessica both serve. Your girls are up here doing. And like you said, I think sometimes as parents, we sometimes go, well, our kids are, they're good. Mm-hmm. It's okay that they don't have those connections. And even like you said, as a kid, you're like, I so wanted those. And as parents, for at least a season, we kind of get to choose where those kids are going to hang.
Sure.
And man, I feel like we talk about Sagemont Student Ministry almost every single table talk. Mm-hmm. It's just such a good place to have your kids.
Absolutely. Well, and I think, you know, as it has been, as I said, because of where we live now in Friendswood, and our girls go to Bay Area Christian, it's kind of the same thing. We're not in the Sagemont community, right? So we do commute to get here, just as many families do, as this is a very large church. And so you really do have to be intentional, especially with your kids, because, you know, they may be friends with the kids that they do Sunday school with or midweek with, but they don't see them every day, maybe in their classrooms and whatnot at their schools. So this year has been very intentional, especially for our oldest, to be more involved so that she can develop those friendships that can be, more fruitful for her and her walk with the Lord and just give her an opportunity to find her spiritual gifts in ways that she can help serve here, just as it would be for our youngest, Caitlin. Yeah. You know, she has found she's a lot like me in a lot of ways, both good and bad. She's been helping Lisa serve on the connection team.
Fun.
Because she's found a love for being able to sing and dance and do all those things too. So that makes daddy's heart happy. So,
absolutely. Yeah. That sweet Caitlin, she likes all the things.
All the things, yes.
She'll do all the things,
yes.
Which is so fun. I love it. Every time I'm like, what are you doing
she's
now?
She's doing some horse riding with somebody. That's right.
She maybe comes and rides with Madison every once in a while, which is so fun. But softball and volleyball and all the things.
Yeah, just, you know, we're trying to give our kids opportunities to be able to explore, you know, find where their, you know, where their interests lie, and to be as involved with them in that process as much as we can. Push them, you know, in a healthy way to want to try all the things, but to ultimately give them, you know, the opportunities to, you know, to explore things on their own.
Yeah.
Too, so
let's see. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. I asked Jeremy to come to Table Talk. It was kind of funny to come and talk about Mother's Day, which you may be like, that's weird. And when I first thought it, I was like, that's kind of odd. Why am I thinking about that? But really, when I was sitting down and looking and I thought about Mother's Day and what we could talk about, you really did come to my mind very quickly. And a huge part of that is because I see how well you love your wife, who is the mother of your children. And I also see how well you love your mom and how special that relationship is for you with her. And I get to see that because y'all are all here. And so I get to see you interact with them. And so I was like, you know what? I just want you to come. One, because I think it's so important for men to sometimes process through. Mm-hmm. What do I do on Mother's Day?
Sure.
Like the world makes it's kind of like a Valentine's Day where you're like, the world makes it a huge deal. Mm-hmm. How do I love my wife the way she'll feel loved.
Sure.
Right? Because that's not necessarily flowers for everybody. Maybe mm-hmm. everybody didn't love that. Right. And then at the same time, encouraging your children, because it's really their mom mm-hmm. that they're Correct. Celebrating. So how do you teach them that and encourage that? And then also making time to honor your own mom
sure.
and figuring all of that out. And so I was like, we're just going to talk about some of that. So let's first start with mm-hmm. your mom.
Sure.
You have a brother.
That's right.
Is Micah older or younger than you?
Micah is 4.5 years older than me.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okay.
He'll be turning 45 this year.
Look at him calling yes. out his brother.
I just turned 40, so there you go.
There you go. I love it. There you go. And so it's the two of you mm-hmm. and your sweet mom. Mm-hmm. And you and her... And granted, this is from the outside looking in, have a really sweet relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very interesting that y'all have worked together.
Sure.
So it's been, and a lot of people are like, don't ever work mm-hmm. with family. Y'all have, and you still talk to each other. You still seem to like each other.
Some days, right?
Yeah. Right? Right? Yeah. So talk about just over the years, how have you been purposeful sure. to go, this is my mom, this relationship's an important sure. relationship?
Yeah, well, you know, my mom has always been there in so many ways for me and my brother growing up. You know, when she wasn't working, she was actively subbing at our schools to be okay. involved with us. She was at every baseball game, every, you know, other sporting event, every music event, you know. Even contributing in ways of being a leader in certain avenues of PTA organizations mm-hmm. Or, you know, helping out with choir programs or, you know, baseball programs, things like that. So she's always been there. And, you know, in the moment, I think as a kid, there are certain aspects where you're like, oh, Mom, what are you doing here? You know, like,
right.
why are you taking these pictures and all of these things? But, you know, you know, when I look back on those years, I'm very thankful that mm-hmm. she was there, because there are a lot of kids who don't have that
sure.
in their lives, and so it's something I've really tried hard not to take for granted. Because once again, as with any parental relationship or relationship in general, there are always, you know, as human beings in our sinful nature, for us to, you know, maybe lash out from time to time,
sure.
you know, and it be received, you know, in, you know, from in both ways, you know, of just things as we get older. But mm-hmm. I've been so fortunate and blessed to be able to have her, and to be, you know, to grow up and do life now
yeah.
with her around,
yeah.
As it is with my dad as well. And having them locally, you know, where, 'cause once again, had things, you know, looked different from after post college and my career path, had it maybe taken me to another city or
absolutely
or, you know, wherever, you know, I wouldn't get the chance to mm-hmm. see my parents as often as I do, you know, and but been blessed to be able to have my work home also house my mom's business as well. Mm-hmm. So having to get the opportunity to see her on, you know, on a regular basis has been a good thing. You know, even in the rough days, you
yeah.
know, because once again, at the end of the day, is something that I'm trying to do now and encouraging of my daughters is the importance of family, mm-hmm. And having, you know, having those, people in your lives. 'Cause at the end of the day, they're going to be the ones that are with you through the thick and the thin.
That's right.
And I've been so thankful that my mom has, you know, poured into us over the years and been able to instill those values of hard work and just, you know, having her as my biggest cheerleader in all mm-hmm. that I do. Even when I feel like sometimes it's a little embarrassing, she's doing it like, Mom, come on.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, very, very thankful to, you know, have her in my life the way that I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the years, how have you honored your mom, mm-hmm. thanked your mom, specifically around Mother's Day?
Sure.
Like, do y'all have traditions or is it different every year? Or are you having to be like, is she one that's like, I want to see you that day.
Sure.
I want the things. Or like, how have you figured out what really makes her feel loved?
Okay. My mom is very like holidays are very important to her.
Yeah.
And, but as with any marriage, you've got two sides of the family.
Absolutely.
And, it was in the early years, it was very hard to try to be everywhere for everybody yeah. on every day. And so over the years that's evolved as far as, just, you know, holidays will, you know, go here 1 year and then we'll just, you know, we'll rotate it.
Yep.
Or we'll just celebrate on opposite day or, you know, different days.
Yep.
So that, you know, that we are, because we are in such close proximity to not only my family, but also Jessica's family.
Yes.
You know, it's a blessing and a curse, right?
Right. Yes.
In that sense. Right.
Yes.
But thankfully, you know, been able to communicate well on that end to be able to make sure that, okay, you know, Mom, you got us this year and you have our full attention, right?
Right.
You know, so that way we're not looking at the clock and saying, okay, well now we got to go here, you know, for the next thing. And that's obviously been challenging over the years, especially when the girls were little and, you know, and we're trying to navigate the new world of being parents.
Absolutely.
And, there's still, you know, we're still in that season of life where, you know, it only changes as far as where our responsibilities lie and time commitments lie. But some of the things that, you know, my brother and I have tried to do over the years is, you know, we'll communicate on, you know, being able to find ways that we can, you know, take my mom out to eat, for dinner or for lunch, to be able to celebrate her, you know, with, you know, sometimes simple material gifts, you know, that are heartfelt for her, that mean that have a value. Sometimes it's just the opportunity just to spend that quality time with her, getting a chance to talk. And, you know, I take that, you know, more than ever now as a result of just, that point and stage of life that we're in and the serious conversations that come along with that. Because once again, none of us are promised today, much less tomorrow. So to make the most of our opportunities, even when, you know, maybe there are certain things going on in our own lives that, you know, may cause strife or, that when I'm with her, that I make sure that I'm making the most of it and not, you know, thinking about other things.
Yeah.
You know, so as of lately, that's kind of seems where it's been more over the last couple of years has been opportunities to be able to, you know, take her out on a, you know, after church on Sunday. And because we do get to do life with her at church,
right.
You know, we do get to have that quality time with her in the morning, be able to worship with her here. But then to be able to either go to her house, to be able to take her out for lunch, to be able to do something special, make it fun, you know, put the ball back into her court as to what she would like to do with her boys, and then to be able to honor her in that way.
I think that's so important that when we start thinking about adult children, and from a mom perspective of not there yet with, I have some adult, well, I guess they're all adults now, but they're not like married and all that kind of stuff yet. But I'm like, I know I am going to want time with just them.
Sure.
I'm going to love it when they get married and have babies and all this stuff. I know it's going to be great. But I'm like, I know even now I want one-on-one time with my kids or just them. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you said just mom and her boys, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, like, that just, I think, would speak volumes to say, hey, I'm going to make time to just spend time with you.
And that's the thing. It's not just Mother's Day. It's really trying to carve that time out, you know, just in a normal everyday setting,
absolutely,
right? In a week. You know, I've tried to make more efforts to just be able to go over to their home and just chat with them for a few minutes, you know, they don't live that far away. You know, sometimes we take that for granted.
We do. Absolutely.
You know, even in the midst of them, you know, having an office right next to mine for as long as I have, there are plenty of days where I wouldn't get to see her, you know, just cause you get kind of wrapped up in that thing, but you can, you know, it's always that comforting to know that it, you know, I do have my mom there, that if I need a hug, you know, that she can provide that for me.
Absolutely.
And for me to be able to provide that for her as well, right?
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that I've learned as being a parent, and as I think all parents now with younger children, and you could probably attest to this too, that when you're growing up as a kid, you know, your parents would always say, you won't know until you have your own kids. You won't know, you know, how this feels or how that feels until you have your own kids. Well, you know, now I'm feeling that, right? So I understand now what my mom was trying to tell me when I was younger, when it comes to those sweet moments of loving on you, or, you know, taking that picture, you know, cause that creates those memories and, those core memories, really, those are the moments that I can look back on and be like, you know, that was a really positive moment for me, or even in a negative moment, she was there to be able to uplift me, you know, and then I think it goes back to that, you know, when I if you're familiar with the movie Inside Out, that Disney movie where it talks about feelings and all the things, I could really relate to that in a lot of ways with my mom, especially in those moments that, you know, where there were some down moments, she was there to lift me up,
right?
You know, to turn that sadness into happiness, into joy, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's she's always been able to do that and to bring out the best in me, and you know, and I attribute a lot of my success and where I'm at today as a result of what she's been able to do.
I love that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Y'all, great reminder for Mother's Day. Just spend time with your mom. Mm-hmm. And if she's not close, instead of just a phone call, do a FaceTime, do a Zoom, do something to just that little bit of time. Sure. And, you know, that, man, that speaks volumes.
You're just saying, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That,
do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. And then how long have you and Jess been married now?
So Jessica and I have been married, be 16 years this June.
That's awesome.
So yeah, June of 2008 is when we got married.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, so in loving her as a mom.
Sure.
So it's different. You know, you love her as your wife and as your friend, but loving her as a mom. Mm-hmm. Talk just a little bit, because this is a guy perspective I for sure don't have, of when she became a mom.
Okay.
Like, what was that like for you, like from a husband's standpoint of like, my wife just became a mom?
Sure. Well, obviously, I think the obvious answer would be when she, you know, first held that baby, right? You know, when she first held Haley. But there, I mean, it's amazing to see her involvement over the years, too. Mm. Obviously, I feel like you can read all the parenting books in the world, right? But you don't know how it's going to play out with your own child until you have your own child, right?
Because
you can then throw everything that you learn in those books out the window.
And every kid's different.
Every kid's different.
So you think you got it down, and then there's another one. You're like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got this. And then baby number two rolls around. They're completely different,
you're totally
right?
different. Yeah.
You know, different personalities, different, you know, sleep patterns. There's so many different things, right, when they're that little. And then, once again, as they're developing into their own personalities, as we've been able to find out over these last few years, especially, you know, you just see how each one is different and how they have to be disciplined differently, how they have to be loved differently, as far as their love languages are very much different, and how you want to go about, you know, like I said, challenging them to be able to want to pursue things versus, you know, how you discipline them in certain avenues. Cause you know, one will tuck their tail in and know that they've done something wrong. And the other will, you know, kind of throw a fit and, you know, so you have to learn how to balance that. And so Jessica has done a tremendous job. And I feel like I can, you know, I can see a lot of where she was able to see how great of a teacher she was, without physically not being in the classroom with her, as her original career path was a school teacher at the elementary level. And so I have to be, you know, my fix it kind of attitude oftentimes when it comes to that, or, you know, she's able to like completely like take a step back, have a calming presence.
That's awesome.
You know, and she's been able to once again, love them in those ways, even though when they're maybe not so lovable at the moment, to be able to calm the situation. Mm-hmm. She just has that presence about her that is just, it's just a really amazing to watch. And she's helped me be a better dad as a result of how she goes about her parenting, with the girls. And of course that's been able to develop a tremendous bond, between the girls and her, you know, in a very unique way. And, you know, something that, you know, as I'm continuing, there's a season of life where they need their mom, just as I know there's going to be a season of life when they're really going to truly need their dad.
Yeah.
And especially being in a household where it's just girls, right? I've had to like kind of take a step back in a lot of ways because of the different things that they're navigating through that dad just, you know, for me, I just don't have what is necessarily needed in that moment that they need their mom to help them through. And, it's been so amazing to see, the girls be receptive to what Jessica, is able to do in those moments. And then, you know, that's where we partner together to be able to, to parent the girls, but her ability to be involved with them, she's doing the exact same things that, you know, I watched my mom do with me and my brother. Mm-hmm. And for that, you know, I'm eternally grateful for that. I have a wife, who genuinely wants to be involved in our daughter's lives. And, even in the midst of running her own business and doing all things, she's able to really, you know, conquer all of those things and to do it well.
Yeah.
Even when she may not always feel like she does it well.
Right. Right. Yeah. She's awesome. Excuse me. Have you had to have the conversations, or how has it gone in your home talking to your girls about them honoring their mom, them being kind to their mom on those days when you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have to do that. That's pretty much all, right? But I know from when my husband's done that for me, what that speaks to me when he steps in and goes, whoa, this is your mom.
Right.
I mean, hopefully you don't have to say that very often.
Sure.
But I'm sure that you do.
Oh, yeah.
But just even talking to dads maybe and going, why is that important?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, once again, she's been the example that these girls have needed. And they've watched, once again, as her career path changed. She started a Mary Kay business before we had the girls, and was able to be very successful very quickly with that, and has had her business now for the last 14 years. And so they've watched nothing but, you know, mom being able to juggle and do all the things, but to once again juggle and do it well. You know, in the early years, there was a lot of times when, you know, mom was working, you know, later in the evenings, would have to leave, you know, to be able to go run her business. But it got them an opportunity to see, hey, mom is independent and working on her business, and this is to support our family so that we can go to Disney World or, you know, whatever the goal was, so that they could understand. Because as a child, it's hard to understand why is mom gone, you know, or why does dad have to go to work, or, you know, and the same things that I work, you know, had to do the same things when I was a kid, you know, that dad was at, you know, on the road for work, or, you know, wasn't maybe going to be able to be at this game just this time around, you know. Right. We think as kids that, you know, there's always going to be around with, you know, and that just money grows on trees and, you know, everything's going to be great. Right. And so early on, I think that's been a way for her to be able to show, that level of leadership and commitment to her business, commitment to our family, to do what's necessary to support them, and the things that, as they showed interest in certain sports or, you know, dance or art or whatever they wanted to be involved in, you had to show them like, hey, you know, this is what we have to do in order for us to be able to provide for you to do these things. Right. And so, you know, as with any child, you know, they have their moments, you know, going to your question, of, you know, attitudes and things of that degree. And once again, this goes back to an understanding of how your kid responds that level of discipline. And that's where, you know, I have reminded our girls in those instances over the times, and not many, but there have been plenty of times over the years and various degrees that we have, you know, I've had to step in and be able to, you know, remind the girls of the sacrifices that their mom has made in order to be able to do the things that you guys want to do and to be appreciative and grateful of those things. And so, you know, if mom says she, you know, has something going on, to not, you know, get upset with her as a result, to love your mom in these moments. Absolutely. And to appreciate what it is she's doing in those sacrifices that are being made.
I love that. And of course, we know Mother's Day isn't a super fun day necessarily for everyone, right? We have to hold both of those things. Mm-hmm. We know this Mother's Day will be, for a lot of people, their first one without their mom. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, just even broken relationships where you're like, this, I can't just call my mom. I can't just stop by. We know, we understand that. And we know for a lot of people, it's women that want to be a mom that haven't had that happen yet. And, or for so many, one of the things y'all walked through is miscarriage.
Correct.
And walking through that and, having to hold both the joy and the sadness in that. How many years ago has that been now?
So that was 2016.
Okay.
Once again, we were blessed to be able to have two beautiful, healthy baby girls. As far as we know, as to when we first started trying for our first child, there were no complications.
Right.
We were able to get pregnant with Haley and likewise again with Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about having, you know, at least three children. I learned, I guess that was on my 32nd birthday,
okay,
that we were going to be pregnant with our third child. And I remember this vividly because Jessica decided to, on my birthday morning, make me breakfast, add eggs and bacon and pancakes. And, you know, I just thought this was just another great little birthday present for myself. And as I'm opening it up, it's, you know, the pregnancy test, and sure enough, we're pregnant. And
yeah.
I was shocked, because even though we wanted another child, we weren't necessarily actively,
right,
you know, planning at that,
yeah,
point. But you know, if God was going to bless us with another child, and it was in His will, then He,
right,
was going to, you,
yeah,
know. So, and so we were excited about that process, and at that time, I don't recall necessarily how far along she was, but she probably 4 to 6 weeks, somewhere, mm-hmm, in there. And in April of that, so that was in January, in April of 16, she went to her 16-week appointment, and I unfortunately was not able to be there with her. I was in the early stages of building my practice, mm-hmm, and business, and you know, it wasn't our first rodeo.
It's our third one, and you think things are fine.
You know,
yes.
It's like, oh, it's just another appointment.
Donald,
you know,
wasn't there when I found out I was having twins.
Okay.
I mean, it's the third pregnancy.
Sure.
It's fine.
It is.
We've done this.
Yes.
So 100%. Yes.
And so, so she went on her own.
Yeah.
And at that visit is when, as they were going through the ultrasound and going through initially through just listening for heartbeat, there that heartbeat was not found on that 16-week appointment, and then thus they went through with an ultrasound, and same thing that you could see, just a still baby. And my one regret is that I was not with her to be able to comfort her, and that was a very hard situation as she drove to my office by herself,
mm-hmm,
just sobbing and just in disbelief that I had to step away from a patient at the time who was very understanding for
absolutely
me to be able to do,
yes,
to be able to console her. And so that hit home, you know, just very differently. And obviously, her experience and my experience are different, you know,
absolutely,
an understanding that I will never understand,
right,
you know, to
absolutely
carry a child.
Yes.
Right. You know, and so, we were able to kind of get through that. We paused for a moment, you know, over the coming weeks, but then quickly found out we were pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, you know, just, you know, pray to God that, you know, things would work out this go around. And,
mm-hmm,
once again, His will be done. And about that was, I think somewhere in September, October of that year, same year of 2016,
mm-hmm,
that, at that same appointment, I went with her, and at that same appointment, we had the same result, mm-hmm, unfortunately. And, it was at that time that, it really hit hard for Jessica even further,
absolutely,
as that was her biggest fear walking into that appointment, as it was both of ours. But once again, I'm just very thankful that I was able to be there for,
yeah,
her in that moment. And at that point, that's when we decided to kind of explore some other answers, because what was going on?
Right.
My wife was, you know, 31 years old,
right,
you know, not necessarily old in,
yeah,
age of,
right,
of, you know, maternity years, had two healthy children,
mm-hmm,
you know, within,
mm-hmm,
a few years of that. And so at that time we decided to go and try to figure out some answers, and learned that she had developed an autoimmune disorder that was creating a blood clot, you know, during the course of pregnancy, that was detrimental to the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Her health wasn't in jeopardy, but the
right,
jeopardy of the baby was as a result of that blood supply not getting to the baby.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so to learn, you know, of two two children. Those were going to look like our, those were going to be our boys.
Yeah.
That was Ethan and Caleb. Hmm. Those were, that's their names. When we learned of that, we, like I said, we went to go try to figure out some those answers. And at that particular point, we just kind of decided to put everything on hold.
Yeah.
And to go through that grieving process and mourning. And as a result, that really just allowed us to be able to come together closer, help our children as they were still very little at the time, and didn't fully grasp, but they do today. And understand, you know, that they still talk about Ethan and Caleb and that one day, and that's, it gives us an opportunity to share, you know, once again, the joy of, you know, what we believe as Christians and the, you know, the acknowledgement that if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that one day you're going to see them. And, you know, we've utilized that as an opportunity to be able to witness to our own children. And to others, because it's, you know, if there's one thing we learned through that is that you are not alone. Many have gone through it.
Absolutely.
And we've always felt that if we can talk about it and to be able, it's given us an opportunity to share our faith through that process. We look probably selfishly now. I'm praying, God, if you want me to get pregnant or want, you know, us to get pregnant, that you will. But we're not actively trying. So at this point, it's like I feel like I'm a little old for that.
Yeah, so, past that stage,
that's
perhaps.
That's right.
Now listen, the number of people in church right now laughing, going, right. "Listen, I had a senior and then got pregnant. It happens.
Yes.
One thing I know about Jeremy, and I would say this to y'all. I think so often when couples go through miscarriage, rightfully so, the focus is on the mom and the woman and her body and what she's having to go through and the emotion of that. But we don't ever want to overshadow the fact that the dad is walking through that too.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you and Jess have been purposeful to say, hey, we'll talk with you about this. And if there's people walking through that right now, I know Jeremy and Jessica would be more than willing to sit down, because I have a million questions of, like, how did it bring you closer together? What did y'all do to make sure it didn't push you away from each other? Mm-hmm. How did you support her? How did she support you? How did y'all walk through that? Because y'all have a very strong marriage and we know that doesn't just happen. You have to be so purposeful with that. And so if you're someone that's in the middle of that, or maybe you're years out and still going, we still just don't talk about it. Please reach out to Jeremy and Jessica. I know they would love to talk because it is, you are correct. The number of people that have walked through it, that are currently walking through it, whatever different seasons, it's just so many people.
Well, and at that time too, we purposely, after the second miscarriage, we purposefully took a trip together just to get away, you know, for a few days and, you know, not have any responsibilities, just to be able to talk, communicate, you know,
have
time away. And, you know, we've, you know, every year, you know, that goes by as a result, you know, is something that we continue to remember and make, you know, aware of. And I know Jessica does a really good job of being able to share on those days that we learned of those miscarriages as to kind of their
kind of marker of that.
Yeah, their marker of that. Yeah. You know, she does do a good job of posting on social media to be able to just draw attention to the fact that, hey, if you're going through this, you know, you don't have to do it alone.
Absolutely.
You know, and that it is a real thing. And, you know, there's a reason for it, you know, God has his reasons, you know, and the beauty of what we know as Christians is that we can trust in that.
That's right.
If we don't know,
we don't understand it.
Exactly. Yep. So,
but we can trust in that.
That's right.
So, and so I'm sure every Mother's Day, and I so love that your boys have names.
Yes.
That y'all talk about them.
Oh yeah.
That the girls know that. And so that on Mother's Day, y'all can honor the fact that Jessica has four kids, two are in heaven and two are here.
That's
and I think that, from the outside looking in, that's a very healthy way to have processed that.
Right. So. Yeah. It's not forgotten. It's not, you know, it's definitely still continued that we talk about and make sure that the girls are aware that, hey, you do have two brothers. You know, they're just waiting for you.
Yeah.
To see you one day.
Which,
you
know? I love that so much.
Yes.
You really do a very good job of loving your mom and loving your wife.
Thank you.
And pointing your girls to loving their mom, but also they're both grandmas.
Sure.
That's right. Those girls love their grandmas.
They love their Gigi and Honey.
Yes. Which they have the cutest names, Gigi and Honey.
That's right.
But you have done a great job. And I think you are a great example for men on this upcoming Mother's Day of it's not gifts. It's not things. It's just presence.
Sure.
And being time. There.
Sure.
It's time.
Right.
And focused
right.
time.
It's if there's one thing that I've tried to be better about as I've gotten older is just being intentional, right? It's being purposeful in that time because we're all granted the same 24 hours in a day. It's just a matter of how are you prioritizing that. And these are conversations I have every day in my business with the people that come to see me,
mm-hmm.
and when it comes to their health and all of the things. And so I very much try to live that out to the best of my ability, but I'm not always successful because I'm a human being too.
Sure.
And so this is something that once again, as I am continually getting older and continually seeing that time begin to narrow with my own children, right? Whereas I'm trying to take steps in my life to be able to make sure that I am more intentional with the people that I care the most about. Mm-hmm. And that's spending that quality time with them because that's the, there'll always be, opportunities to work and gain, the financial side. There'll be, opportunities to see, this game or that game, and that have no value, right, on your life whatsoever. But that time with your mom, your dad, your siblings, your friends,
mm-hmm.
Past and present, those are the things that will carry weight, forever,
yeah.
and that's what we're called to do, right? Is be yeah. intentional and relational with having community.
That's right.
And, those are areas that I'm desperately trying to be better at,
yeah.
because we need it, especially now more than ever.
Absolutely.
Now more than ever.
Yep. Yep. And I love that y'all be the one that reaches out. Don't wait for somebody to reach out to you.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Be the intentional.
That's right.
If we all just sit back and go, well, nobody's reaching out to me,
mm-hmm.
then we're all just going to sit around by ourselves.
It's a two-way street.
So, yeah.
Yes. 100%. And it doesn't mean that you have to go out and do something or spend money. It could just be a simple text. It could be
yes.
a simple phone call, just checking in and hear your voice. I mean, there are plenty of people in my life that, that I don't see as regularly as I used to.
Sure.
And, there's really no excuse with all the myriad of ways that we have the ability to
That's
connect
right.
with people these days,
to
communicate with people.
Yeah.
So would encourage you, to be able to reach out to those that,
Absolutely.
That mean the most to you.
That mean the most.
Mm-hmm.
Stop right now.
That's right.
Pick up your
That's
phone.
Right. Yes.
Text somebody.
That's right.
Give them a call. Make some plans.
Yes.
Thanks for coming and hanging
yes.
out. Thanks for all you do at Sagemark.
Sure, thank you.
We're so thankful to have you and your
yes.
amazing family.
Yes, thank you.
Here, y'all do a great job. Listen,
sure.
if you see Jeremy
yes.
on stage, don't yell at him. But if you see him in the hallway,
sure.
stop by. Tell Jeremy thank you for all he
yes.
does. Reach out if you need something. I know he's more than willing to
yes.
hang out and chat with you. So
sure.
thanks for hanging out.
Yes.
So fun, y'all. We will see you next time on Table Talk.